My name's Jim Smith.
My name's George Pitt.
And you're listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights Podcast, brought to you in conjunction with Podomatic,
iTunes,
and WCRFM.com.
For more information on Jim and George, go to facebook.com/JimandGeorge.show. Eerily threatening, isn't it?
Reap, reap, reap. You're going to reap just what you sow.
Reap, reap. It is like one of those reap. Horrible, eerie phone calls that you see in horror films.
Oh, should we start doing that? Let's start phoning people up and saying, you're going to reap just what you sow.
Oh, that'd put the wind up your
arm. Hey, over and over again.
Oh, definitely.
Reap. Reap, reap, you're going to reap. I'm frightening myself with that. I'm freaking myself out. You're going to reap. Remind me to tell you later. We've got to get into doing some news stories. Remind me to tell you after the news or something.
Yeah.
About my new mattress and the whole story that surrounded that that bun fight.
Your new mattress?
I had a new mattress. What a bun fight. What an adventure that turned out to be.
Oh, come on.
Let's have a new mattress.
Come on, you've got to reveal what that is.
No, I'll do it after the news. But,
no.
I haven't got time, I swear.
Write that down next to Breen Sand Kite Story.
next to Breen Sand's Kite Story.
Yeah.
And above there where you've got written eBay CD buying chicken, got to find a new name for that works better. Just write down, buying a new mattress, what a bun fight.
Buying a new mattress.
Just jot that down. Remind me later to tell you that story about the bun fight, the adventure, the...
What a bun fight.
The shocking ordeal of buying a new mattress. My Lord. Give us a story from your side of the desk, George.
No, but just changing the subject slightly. Back to the eerie phone call thing. Have you ever been victim to eerie phone calls or somebody, you know, those kind of weird phone calls?
I was fully stalked once.
Serious?
Fully, properly, like, not in keeping
with
this
Jim,
show at all.
Yeah, but Jim, that's not fair.
Not in keeping with this show at all. Not at all
that's
funny.
That's not fair.
Really, really freaky. Really, really frightening. Really stupid, weird bird who scared me witless.
Oh, bird.
Weeks and weeks and weeks.
Bird.
Constant text messages and phone calls.
I was worried that he was referring to our friendship then.
No.
No. Serious, like you're properly stalked.
Went to the police.
No.
Went to the police.
Oh, man. Was that before you was doing the show?
A long time before. Like when sort of mobile phones were just sort of starting to happen in a big way.
You see, there was a time just before mobile phones, like when it was all landlines, where it was really common that you'd get like really freaky callers. You know, the whole deep breathing thing down the phone.
You would, but that was genuinely me.
You mentioned them.
But at that time of day, your mum was a fox. At the time of that, you know, 20 years ago, George, come on, you've seen photographs.
It's me mama, you know, you don't think of your mother like that.
I do, well, your mother.
quite a few of my mates have commented on my mother. I don't like it, though.
Well, you're not supposed to, are you?
Well, I don't want to know what people are thinking.
That's what, if you get to the phone first, that's why we go.
You're going to be... I mean, your sister, you don't care, but your mum, I mean, oh, come on. You know, that's out of order.
No, just thinking about it. Your sister's younger than you.
I know, but you don't care.
Your sister
would
have been about 14, you weirdo hillbilly.
My sister's 14.
Well, she would have been at the time. How old? She's like 30-something
now.
No,
what
now?
I'm trying to say, 30-something. She'd
I'm
27,
you know,
I think.
At the time of, you know, no, what at I'm that trying time to say of day is... when I was making... nuisance phone calls.
The one
this is true in as much as it's a massive lie, right? But this is true, and we'll get this in just before the news, right? I used to phone people up when I was a kid, and I was just a little boy, and, you know, please don't call the police. I was just a little boy, and had these dreams about going on the radio and having a radio show and everything. And we used to phone people up, right? And I had jingles on a tape. You know when them tape players?
Yeah.
I had jingles made and everything that we used to tape off the radio, local radio and everything. And we used to phone up people, and we used to tell them that we used to play this game called... directory flicking where we get a celebrity. And this week's celebrity was Bob Carroll Jeeves. I don't know why, but we always used to say it was Bob Carroll Jeeves, right?
Bob Carroll Jeeves?
Yes, Bob Carroll Jeeves spit the job dog off Tiz was, right? We say yeah. Bob Carroll Jeeves flicked through the directory and then picked a page and then got up and down and I would introduce it and I would hype it up and we'd phone strangers up, people we didn't know, right? Mm. And we'd tell them if they could answer three questions correct, they could win a Metro. Right, because that's how long ago it was. Right, the, you know, you would want a Metro. It was like the new car that was coming out. And so this guy, he comes through, and I am a child. I am 13, 14 years of age, and I'm in a house full of people because I've always been able to talk like this and keep it going. You know what I mean? And I'm in a house full of people, and my elder sister there, and all her friends there, and we're phoning this guy up, and we're tormenting him down the phone. And I said to him, "So, and if you answer the first these three questions correctly, you're going to win a Ford Metro, right?" so like, I'm a child, right? Just a little boy, okay? And I think, you know, it's 20 years ago. We passed the statute of limitations. I don't think I can be nicked for it, right? So, and then we'd ask stupid questions like, who wrote Beethoven's Fifth Symphony? And what was Adolf Hitler's first name? And just we'd ask these stupid questions for people to get them. And I go to this guy, and I go to him, "Congratulations, you've won the new Ford Metro." And he goes, Ford don't make the Metro. I went, "Yes, they do." And he went, "Ford don't make the Metro." And I went, they do, Ford make the Metro. He went, "Austin made the Metro." And I went, "Do you want it or what?" We used to, honestly, wicked cruel. We used to make arrangements to drop them off at people's houses and everything. And we used to get, like, you know, and like more than once or twice, we had people take the day off work and they were expecting, honest to God, George, it's wicked, wicked bad. But they were expecting, like, the papers and somebody to come around with their new Metro on a low loader. And, you know, it was going to be like the big. But I always used to say to them, "Tell what, I was a horrible child." We say to them now, "Do you mind having publicity?" "Oh, no, don't mind at all." You don't mind being in the papers? "Oh, no, not at all. I'm so pleased. Oh, a Ford Metro." Like, most people don't know. That's true, though. That's wicked bad, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's great, that is. WCR
Live from Wolverhampton, this is 101.8 WCR FM.
My name's Jim Smith.
And my name's Georgie Pitt.
This is the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. WCR FM. I'm Jim Smith.
I'm Georgie Pitt.
Yes, he is. And you're listening to Damn it, George, I've had enough Gene Wilder. What if you get something from your side of the desk?
Hang about. I thought
time's a wasting, man.
I thought that Gene Wilder track, you know, ended pretty abruptly.
Yeah, I just decided to get
did
out
you cut
of it.
Out of that earlier?
Yeah, it was. I remembered it better.
I was enjoying that.
Do you want some more? Yeah.
Oh, now look at that. Tranquil, beautiful.
See, Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka was...
good.
Way good and way spooky and everything.
Yeah.
But then Johnny Depp's one just seemed to be an impression of Michael Jackson.
Yep, everyone said that. Even, you know, the whole look about him, the freaky mannerisms.
Yeah.
You know, the love of children. All these kind of familiarities. What?
Did you know, in the original Roald Dahl book, the Oompa Loompas were pygmies?
Were they?
Yeah, and the studio got quite sort of touchy over the whole slavery issue.
So serious?
What a black armor. So it decided that was not the way to go. So they invented the Oompa Loompas. But in the original, and they went back and they changed the pressings of the books and everything. But in the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory...
You're right.
I always thought Roald Dahl probably doesn't like children very much. And I think, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, it's sort of like...
Some of them get murdered,
reedy,
don't they?
It's sort of like Lord of the Flies. It's like Golding's Lord of the Flies, where he's pretty unabashed. He doesn't really like or trust children. And I think that's what Roald Dahl did with Willy Wonka, that they're all greedy and grabby and lazy. And Oompa Loompa Dippity Doo. You're all useless, I hate you. Oompa Dumpa Dippity Doo. I'm Roald Dahl and I hate kids.
There was all sports. spoiled and horrible and nasty and selfish, but Charlie was nice.
Yeah, right.
Charlie was lovely.
And you know, at the end.
Yeah.
Right? What's the last scene of right, firstly, let's talk about...
They go up in the glass elevator, don't they?
No, let's talk... yes, they do. You're quite right. Yeah. We haven't planned this bit right. But, Grandpa. Charlie Bucket, right? So it's Grandpa Bucket, presumably, right? Grandpa Bucket has been in bed with his sister and her husband. Which is a bit weird, right? Before you even start.
No, they're poor.
This is a bit weird, right?
They share the same bed.
Before you even begin, he's been in bed with his wife and his sister and her husband. Yeah. Oh. While his daughter goes and gets some food. Yeah. Right, okay. So it's a bit... Yeah. Right, which I think says something about Roald Dahl, right? Before you even begin. But he's been in bed for 20 years because presumably he can't walk, right? Until he's got reason to walk. And, oh, look at me now. I'm cured.
That's true. Now,
we've got a golden ticket. We're not getting any more disability allowance. All of a sudden, I can walk. Look at me. I'm a benefits thief, right? So that's my first issue, right, with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Second issue with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. What's the very last scene?
Like I just said, that when they go up in the glass elevator.
Charlie, Grandpa.
And Willy Wonka.
And Gene Wilder go up in the glass elevator.
Yeah.
And they go, and what does he say to him? What does he say to Charlie?
Oh, it's been a few years since
right,
I've
seen he says
it.
To Charlie, you know what happened to the little boy who got everything he ever dreamed of? He lived happily ever after. And he says to Charlie,
yeah.
I'm giving you the factory, Charlie.
Serious?
He says, I'm giving you the chocolate factory.
Oh, that's it, because he was trying to find a suitable heir to the throne, wasn't
that's
it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So he says to Charlie, someone's got to look after me Oompa Loompas. You know, essentially, somebody's got to care for my slaves, right? Somebody's got to care for my slaves, and don't you forget to nobble them and cane them and flog them if they get uppity, right? Somebody's got to look after my slaves, and I'm leaving you the chocolate factory. But of course, he would leave you the chocolate factory, wouldn't he? Because he's just had 4 heavyweight industrial accidents with 4 members of the public. I mean, in fairness, 4 out of 5. He's got an 80% hit rate. 4 out of 5 members of the public, the only members of the public ever to come to his factory, have left in ambulances, we presume. Had 4 major industrial accidents. I bet he couldn't wait to get rid of that factory. Can you imagine if like Cadbury World had the same hit rate? 80% of people who go to Cadbury World leave in an ambulance. They'd be dying to give it you.
Well, it was almost quite deliberate of in the film as well. Almost quite like, you know, maybe he was a bit of a, I don't know, child killer. Is that strong?
Willy Wonka.
He certainly had a hatred towards children within it.
I think Roald Dahl didn't like kids. I think that was the truth of it.
I'm trying to think of his other works of literature.
Where's the Just So stories, aren't there?
There's the tweets.
The Just So stories are pretty much stories about animals that get tortured and misshapen.
Yeah, I don't know.
The elephant gets its long trunk by having a tug of war because an alligator bites it on the nose and stretches its nose out, and that's how the elephant gets its long trunk. And the giraffe gets its long neck.
So he's just making stuff up.
You know, he's an author. But I think, generally,
well, it works for religion, so why can't it work for, you know, other works of literature? What are we making stuff up here? You're right, Ed. A hippo's big because it eats all the other animals.
No, the hippo. Yeah. Okay, now I can remember this one. The hippo took its skin off.
Yeah.
Right? You're weird enough, Roel. Weird enough. The hippo took its skin off and laid it out in the sun.
Yeah.
And another animal, I think it was the monkeys. It was generally the monkeys that were naughty. So the monkeys came and ate biscuits on the hippo's skin.
Yeah.
And then when the hippo put its skin back on, it was very itchy because of the crumbs from the biscuits, and it rubbed itself up against things, and that's how a hippo gets its wrinkles. Which is, I suppose, you know, drawing the parallel as you are with religion, it's no more weird than talking snakes telling you not to eat, telling you that it's okay to eat fruit from certain trees. It's no more or less weird than that.
Or some guy being told to build a boat to house every two of every living creature that ever, that's ever existed on the planet.
Noah, I say to you, go and get me two of every living... will I be getting help? Can I contract out some of the work?
What did Noah
say? No! Just you and your kids!
What did Noah say? Hang about, are you having
God.
A laugh?
And you're
are you
having God. A laugh? Can't you do it? God!
Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse.
What have we spoke about so far this show? Ticket touts, Roald Dahl.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Me mattress is to come. Just write that down there.
Mattress is to come.
Me mattress. I've got to tell you the story about going to get a new mattress.
Come on, we must have spoke about pretty much more than Roald Dahl.
Right, we'd stop illustrating that the show isn't about much.
What have we spoken about?
Do you know, Jim? This show's a bit rubbish, really, isn't it?
It's not rubbish, it's just surprising.
It's not really very informative, it doesn't really serve any purpose whatsoever.
It's hardly the politics show, is it?
Listen, we've started talking about films, I don't know, it's just something that started to happen. We talk about the things we like to talk about. If we weren't making this radio show, we would be having this conversation somewhere else. And we started to talk about films, and I really wanted, for a long time, to talk about this particular film, because I think... it might be the closest thing to the perfect movie. We'll talk about this film, The Big Lebowski.
Way to go, Donnie!
I'm slamming him tonight.
If you blow it, it is no dream.
Come on, Donnie, let's go get us a lamp.
Get close to the next round of the tournament.
When do we play?
You got a day Wednesday, baby!
He's cracking.
We got me a dad!
It's a heart attack. Call the medics, team. Donnie was a good bowler and a good man. He was one of us. He was a man who loved the outdoors and bowling.
In your wisdom, Lord, you took him.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Make some man, Mr. Lebowski.
You're living in the past.
You're goddamn right I'm living in the past!
Is it being prepared to do the right thing? Whatever the cost. Isn't that what makes a man?
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gets it?
I'm getting a bit nervous now. I'm sure I've got all the swearing. I'm sure I went through it the other night. I'm absolutely convinced I've got all the swearing and all my sound files.
There's a lot of swearing in that film.
George, run it down for us. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, The Big Lebowski is a classic Coen Brothers film made in 1998, starring Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, Sam Elliott. I mean, it's got a cracking cast. And it's the story of Jeff Bridges' character, The Dude. His name's Jeffrey Lebowski, but everyone knows him as The Dude. He's mistaken for a millionaire, and this millionaire's young wife is kidnapped, and he gets involved in this whole plot to get back the millionaire's young wife. So it's pretty much a take on old detective stories. Them old kind of Pulp Fiction crime novels from the 1940s and 1950s?
Yeah.
You know, them private detective tales. But it's like a modern take on that. And it kind of, the tale twists and turns in true Coen Brothers style. I mean, this film's got it all. I mean, it's got hippies, it's got Vietnam veterans, it's got, you know, Nazi-hating nihilists, it's got paedophiles, it's got druggies. It's like, you know, you don't know where it's going next.
What I asked you to do was probably unfair. I sort of said to you, try and sum the film up. And it's a very difficult thing to sum up because it's got a quality. And I don't know whether you would say the quality that it's got is that it's cool or that it's funny, because there's very little in it that would make you laugh out loud. But it is enthralling on so many different levels. If you've not seen the film The Big Lebowski, I'll tell you one or two things about it. When I was going through, and I go through and I get little sound files for all these things that we do, you know, just to make it interesting for you to listen to. The music on this film is out of this world. Lots of Bob Dylan, the Eagles. There's some Gypsy Kings. I'm going to play some of that in a little bit. But when you go through, and I recommend anybody go to YouTube and put in just the word Lebowski and see the hits that come up, because loads and loads of people make their own trailers for this film.
Seriously?
Take the film. I mean, that isn't an official trailer.
Well, I thought that because, I mean, the film was released in 1998 and that was Coldplay in the background there.
There you go.
That was only released a few years back.
People go, I've got another one queued up if you want to hear it. I've got another Big Lebowski trailer that was made by a fan.
Wife owes money to Jackie Treehorn, that means you owe money to Jackie Treehorn.
Ever thus the deadbeat, Lebowski.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
The other Jeffrey Lebowski, the millionaire.
His wife goes out and owes money all over town and they pee on my rug?
I have to compensate the person?
That rug really tied the room together, did it not?
Mr. Lebowski is prepared to make a generous offer to you.
Why should we settle for 20 grand when we can keep the entire million? Am I wrong?
They're gonna kill that poor woman, man.
I'm proposing that you try to recover the money from the people you delivered it to.
Well, I could do that.
They did not receive the money!
Yeah, it, dude. Let's go bold.
This isn't a game, man.
Oh, but it is a game. You said so yourself.
I've got information, man. New has come to light.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski.
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski.
Smokey, this is not Nom. This is bowling. There are rules.
His name is Lebowski? That's your name, dude.
That's marvelous.
Nobody with the Jesus.
I mean, say what you want about the tenets of National Socialism, dude. At least it's an ethos.
I'm sorry, I was listening.
I mean, that's a line you're not getting on any other. So what you like about the tenets of National Socialism, at least it's an ethos. And now you heard a little bit, there's a couple of beautiful, beautiful little cameos in. Well, not really cameos. One from John Turturro plays a small part as the pederast Jesus.
Jesus.
Now, go to YouTube and put in Lebowski, Jesus. And people are reenacting the scene with John Turturro as Jesus. It is that powerful. It is that perfect. It is that silly. People are reenacting that scene, filming it themselves. One guy with the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah.
Which I thought was the weirdest thing. You know, the guys, you know that whole bit with Jesus where he's bowling? And I found this online. Wait a second, track 8, there you go. I found this online. This is John Turturro talking about his time with the film and his time with that character.
I knew I was a pederast, so I knew I had Jesus there and that. So I said, can I have a nail? They said, yes. Can I have a hair net? Yes. And then I saw the thing that shined the balls on the set, you know. And this guy had it, and I said, look at it, because it's like I have giant balls.
Right, you know? Right.
And Joel and Ethan were like dying. Right. I think they knew the day they were going to do stuff with me that they had extra time, which is very unusual, as you know.
Right, right.
But when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's just inspiring. This is my whole character, you know? So you have this one, like Michael Chekhov talks, psychological gesture. That's it, shining my balls. That's it. That was my psychological gesture. And then I thought, you know, I said, could I, you know, I want to lick the ball. And they said, oh, that's great, you know, put in. But this was stuff because you're so relaxed mm-hmm. with a friend or whatever that you feel like you're not going to be fired. But when I saw how they put it together, I have to say, I was completely embarrassed. I was like, oh my God. I liked it, but I was so embarrassed. I was like, I mean, you know, people will be playing that when on my funeral, you know.
Exactly.
You know? So, now we're talking about, I have an idea, I want to do like a sequel, like, you know, where Jesus gets out of jail and drives a school bus. They like that idea.
Yeah, right,
they like that idea. Because those guys who drive school buses,
sure,
they never checked them out.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You always see these guys, and you could just see the Jesus, you know,
right, right.
Just on those school buses. So,
There you go. John Turturro talking about his role as Jesus. Get the film. The scene with Jesus is just out of this world. He's really, really good. Jesus, the pederast bowler.
Well, he refers to himself there as a pederast, which is pretty much, you know, the American version of paedophile.
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's the same thing. I honestly, I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Because he references, I mean, John Goodman's character, Walter, references something in the film about when he goes, dude, 9-year-olds. Dude, 9-year-olds. Like that. So you get the
and
gist.
He has to go around, doesn't he? He has to go around the whole neighbourhood, knocking on everyone's door. Hello, pleased to meet you. I live up the road. I'm a pederast.
That's it, yeah.
And everyone's eating him and everything. The thing about this film, if you get two, you know, I think the number is maybe two or three. You don't need any more than two or three men to be in a room at any one time and start talking about this film. That's the evening gone. Because there is so much to talk about once you've seen The Big Lebowski.
Well, the film is so multi-layered, and there's so many classic characters within the film that it's just one of those instantly quotable films.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Instantly quotable. Tell us a little bit about Donnie.
Oh, Donnie's character. Donnie's played by Steve Buscemi. Now, Steve Buscemi's collaborated with the Coen brothers about 4 to 5 times now. And previous to The Big Lebowski, he played a part in a film called Fargo.
All right.
And his character in Fargo was like a motor-mouth character. You couldn't shut him up. In every scene he was in, just rabbit, 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 could not shut up. So when they cast him in The Big Lebowski, he's pretty much a mute. The Coen brothers thought it'd be funny for him to say hardly anything. And any time, at any point, he tries to talk in this film, John Goodman's character, Walter, tells him to shut the F up, Donnie. Shut the F up, Donnie. He never really gets a chance to say anything, does he? Poor old Donnie.
Shooting out of money and a first at 2. 10 in the morning and 2 for you. Jim and George, like only they know. The technical already show. The technical already show. The technical already show.
I'm Jim Smith.
I'm Georgie Pitts.
I went too quick. See?
Do it again. Do it again. Love this.
I'm Jim Smith.
I'm MC Georgie.
And you're listening to... And you're listening to two blokes talking about a film you might not have seen.
Called The Big Lebowski.
When you get into this film, The Big Lebowski, we're talking about the Coen brothers, classic film, The Big Lebowski. It might just be the perfect film. I think it's the perfect film. If you can only see one film, I think this is the one you ought to go and see. When you get into sort of looking at what's available and what's out there about The Big Lebowski, there's so much fan made stuff. Yeah. You just become just astonished at people's creativity. This is a piece of film that was made by a fan about the film, right, for no money, just because he would, and it's called The Big Lebowski in 5 seconds, okay?
They're going to go on then.
Rather disturbingly, it's 33 seconds long.
Yeah.
But this is The Big Lebowski in 5 seconds. Okay, you ready?
Rug,
vagina.
Oh yeah?
How funny is that?
There's a bit more to it than that, though, I'd say.
How funny is that? Just, give
just a tad more to the cult classic Big Lebowski than that.
It's such a well-supported film by the fans.
Well, there is something that took my eye. Did you know that this film has now got its own festival?
The Big Lebowski now has a festival.
This film was translated into a festival that includes concerts, costume contests, trivia challenges, and most importantly, bowling. Because bowling is featured pretty heavily throughout the film.
Yeah.
You know, in almost like, you know, in several scenes throughout the film. The film is broke up into sections of bowling. You know, where with the main three characters, the dude, Walter and Donnie, you know, frequent this bowling alley. And how cool would that be to go to, you know, a festival based around the Big Lebowski?
Well, listen, seeing as we're talking about fans of the film and fans' commitment to the film,
yeah.
Because people love the film The Big Lebowski, right? And this is what you need to think about. When you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, do you know, should I go and buy this film? Firstly, let me tell you, I've seen this film in HMV for £3.
Bargain.
Right? You, it's the best £3 a human being can spend, right? The Big Lebowski on DVD for £3. If you're thinking, well, you know, shall I take these two idiots' word and venture down to HMV? You don't have to take our word that this might be the perfect film. All you have to do is look at the facts, the time and the energy that people pour into the film for no money. The fact that the film has a festival!
A festival
it's got!
The Big Lebowski Festival. I mean, come on, that's got to be better than any Star Trek convention.
These are the things that tell you the Big Lebowski is the film that you need to see. And what else? How committed to a film have you got to be? How much convincing do you need? Do you need to take my word for it that a man took two Chinese exchange students who didn't have very good English and forced them to reenact a scene from The Big Lebowski? Do you need any more convincing that that's how committed a person can be to a film that you should go and buy? Would you like to hear the audio, George?
I'd love to.
This is a man who took two Chinese... They're not obviously not native English speakers.
No.
Right? And he took two Chinese foreign exchange students who'd come to stay with him and forced them to reenact word for word scenes from The Big Lebowski. Firstly, how creative have you got to be to go, that's what I'm getting? How, you know, I've had many, many very boring Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
And had nothing to do. And, you know, generally I'll have a bonfire and, you know, yes, much fun's been had through that and we've talked about that previously. But how creative have you got to be to go, do you know when them foreign exchange students come over, I'm going to force them to reenact scenes from my favourite films and then I'm going to put them on the internet.
Surely that's some kind of exploitation thing going on there.
I'll tell you what that is, sir. That's yeah. Genius, sir.
Well, he's a work of genius.
Do you want to hear it?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, here we go. And this is the audio, I promise you.
Is this your homework, Laurie? Is this your homework, Laurie?
Look, man, did you...
Dude, please. Is this your homework, Laurie?
Just ask him if he... Just ask him about the car, man.
Is this yours, Laurie? Is this your homework, Laurie?
Is the car up front yours?
Is this your homework, Laurie?
We know it's his f***ing homework, Walters. Where's the f***ing money, you little brat?
Look, Laurie, have you ever heard of Vietnam?
Oh, for Christ's sake, Walter!
You're going to enter a world of pain, son. We know this is your homework. We know you stole a car.
And the money.
And to the f***ing money, we know this is your homework, Laurie. You're gonna to kill your father, Laurie. Ah, this is pointless. Alright, plan B. You might want to watch out front window there, Laurie. This is what happens when you...
I can't. I think that becomes a bit obvious what's there.
Do you know...
that's as far as we can go with that.
You can almost hear it.
Anybody who knows what was in the film, where this is what happens, then knows where that's going. And
you can't even get into explaining
that man,
it.
Wherever he is in the world, that guy. Well done.
Do you know what that sounded like to me? It didn't sound like he had two Chinese exchange students. It sounded like he was forcing Stephen Hawking's... into reading,
she
into
does
reading.
Sound like one of them voices,
it does sound yeah, very, yeah. Very like, you know, do you, is this homework yours, Larry?
Is like this that? Your homework, Larry?
It does sounds very.
Go and see The Big Lebowski, why don't you? You can get it on DVD. It's like tuppence, halfpenny for nothing. The Big Lebowski. It's brilliant. Give us something else from your side of the desk.
All right, what have we got here?
This what business is there to cover as we approach the end of the show like a fat man on the water slide? What is left to do?
Other than...
As my father said to me many, many times when he wasn't saying to me, don't ever drop bills on a biatch and never let a biatch near your Benjamins.
Do you know what my father always used to say? Never trust a woman who wears too much perfume. Still to this day, I don't know what he meant by that.
Never trust a woman who wears too much perfume. I'm going to give that some thought.
Yeah.
But he also said, never leave stuff for the show that you've printed out that you haven't done.
He also said, never...
Use all your material. That's what he said. I remember now.
Another classic was never rub another man's rhubarb. And I never really understood that because my father wasn't much of a gardener. So, I don't know. I think he talked... Well, raving alcoholic. So, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Something else we got
to... Yeah, son, let me tell you. Hey, let me tell you. Never rub another man's rhubarb. Right, Dad, yeah. I'll bear that in mind. Anyway, first story of the show.
First story of the show, 15 minutes left to go. And let's do a news story, why don't you?
Right.
To fall into line with our mandate.
It's not so much the headline that caught my eye, it's more the picture.
Oh, okay, that'll work well on radio.
Right then, here we go. Kamloops.
Oh, man, I've still got to do this story.
Oh, the whole mattress story thing.
Oh, we're pushed for time now, man.
Should we do the mattress story?
Is yours a good story?
It's a great story and a cracking...
Let's have it then.
Should we do your thing
and we'll try and find...
So rattle through it quickly.
Well, if I don't find time for my mattress story, we'll just have to do it another time.
Right in. Kamloops yoga instructor told his shorts are too short. Defiant lecturer says he doesn't lack support.
Now, don't rush it like that.
Huh?
Don't rush it like that just because we're under pressure. Now, let's enjoy every word.
All right, then.
Omit no detail, no matter how sordid.
Right, I'll slow it down for the listener. Kamloops yoga instructor told his shorts are too short. Defiant lecturer says he doesn't lack support.
That's really offensive.
Is that better?
That's really
is that offensive too?
That's really offensive.
It's coming to that end. What is it, like 10 to 12 now? No one's listening. Can we get away with it?
Please God, nobody heard you do that.
Should we go back and edit it? It's what we normally do.
That is absolutely shocking.
You said slow it down. What was I supposed to do? That's Matt Sacco laughing in the background, ladies and gentlemen.
You can hear laughing in the studio. That's neither me nor George. I think even laughing at that is wrong.
You don't see me laughing, but
I'm
you see, you can hear Matt Sacco laughing.
Right, is that what it is? Is Sacco proving to be a bad influence on you?
A terrible influence. He's like a naughty monkey, isn't he?
So if we were looking for somebody to blame for this...
Yeah.
Sacco.
It'd be Matt Sacco.
Okay, good.
All the way.
Do you want to do this story or should we just deaf it? Rotten.
No. Yeah, here we go.
You've read it out to us. I've still no clue what you're talking about.
It's about a guy working at a university who's got these, like, the most crudest, smallest, tightest shorts you've ever seen.
Short shorts?
And there's a picture of this...
Like Rocky and Creed?
Worse.
On the beach.
Worse. Imagine smaller.
Little shorts.
Imagine smaller.
Rocky and Creed in the surf.
I mean, this fella...
Cuddling.
Cuddling.
Bonding.
Rocky 2.
Egg bands.
Oh, beautiful scene.
Dung.
Beautiful
dun,
scene.
Dun, 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 dun. Little shorts.
It's almost quite... The whole Rocky Apollo thing's almost like a love affair, isn't it?
He's a good-looking man, though, Creed.
Yeah, men can love each other
so
without...
good-looking man.
Apollo Creed.
That's
smooth.
That is some fro.
Now, there's a film we haven't covered, Action Jackson.
Action Jackson's a hell of a film.
Yeah. Proper blaxploitation.
Oh, we're taking... listen, if you've got a film that you want covered... Who was it who contacted the show with a suggestion for a film we wanted covering?
We've set up a new Jim and George Facebook page, and there's a guy on there named Pete Hebbs, and he suggested we do Dawn of the Dead for the cult film.
But so look, if you want to suggest a film that we should cover, clubhouse at wcrfm.com. We'll take your emails, we'll take your submissions on that. Sorry, George, there's your man. He has tight shorts. That's all I know at this
stage. A picture of Muhad Abdullah in a pair of his shorts, and it is like the most... they're absolutely appalling. They really are like crude shorts. And it says here, a taste for short shorts has landed a Thompson Rivers University lecturer in hot water with city officials who say his outfits are too revealing for the city's largest recreational complex... Muhad Abdullah.
I've never heard it referred to as a recreational complex before. But he must be very proud that he has the largest one.
Yeah, well, yeah, it says here, Muhad Abdullah, a Pilates. Is that Pilates or Pilates? I don't know. A Pilates and yoga instructor. Pilates and yoga instructor, who also teaches computer science at TRU, says he's been warned twice by officials at the tournament capital centre that his shorts he wears are just too short. But
I got to say, do you know what? I'm big on freedom, and you know, everyone should be able to do everything that they want. And then if I was ever in charge of the country, first thing I'd do is legalise all drugs, and we could empty the prisons, and that, and then the police could just get down to doing proper things rather than chasing around drug dealers and everything. You know, but just sort of licensing it. Apart from anything else, cannabis would be the largest cash crop in the world, and we'd be able to.
So what you're trying to say is
Africa with it. But what I'm saying is, I'm big on freedom, but you know when sometimes men wear them short shorts?
Like Speedos?
Yeah. No, not Speedos, because Speedos, they have an elasticated quality. But you know, like little tennis shorts that people used to wear? And, you know, it might not, especially if they're lying down or sunbathing, or, you know, when you're on holiday, or if they're sitting and playing cards. Now, this is not going to work well on radio. But you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I see very well.
Now, you might not, the little fella might not pop out to say hello.
Well,
but when you're sitting opposite a fella, you're fully aware that it might pop out to say hello, which gives you an interesting dilemma, because I don't want to look and have you look at me looking,
but
and
if
then
it's
think
there,
I was looking.
I tell you what, I had a very...
I can't help but check if he's out there staring at me. I want to know that I'm in danger.
I had a very embarrassing experience in Egypt.
Go on.
Well, I was wearing my shorts, and they're above knee level, so they're not too short. They're not too high up, not too
just
low.
Just about enough to cover the old fella, just above the knee, George.
Not too low down. Well, I can't wear short shorts because I just wasn't made for that. You know, with my equipment, I need some sort of coverage. Yeah. Anyway, so whilst I was away, I happened to step on a spike that was sticking up out of the floor, some building works that was going on in the town centre, and I happened to stumble across this spike, and it went through my foot and all the rest of it. So anyway, so I had to... I was using germaline on the bottom of my foot and putting plasters on because it weren't half sore and I was limping around. Anyway, so I'm in reception, sat there, and I'm wearing my shorts and a T-shirt, and I've had to cock my leg up.
You had to?
I had to cock my leg up onto my knee to try and put the germaline on the bottom of my foot. Because,
okay.
Because the blonde warrior was applying it for me before, because I used to lie on the bed or on the sun lounge, and she put it on for me.
Okay.
So anyway, there I am in reception, and I'm trying to lift my leg up as best as I can, and I just can't seem to do it. So I said to the blonde warrior, "Would you please just do that for me?" She says, "Oh, God, I'm sick of doing that. Do it yourself. Don't be such a baby." So I've lifted...
Well, that seems unlikely to me.
What do you mean?
That she would say that.
Well, she would.
Okay.
So I lifted my leg up. I've cocked my leg up onto my knee. And as I've done that, the old fella's fell out, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
I was unaware of this.
Marble floor, freezing cold.
So so at the time, I was unaware of this because I wasn't looking down there. I'm trying to lift my leg up because obviously I'm 6'3". I'm not the most flexible person in the world.
Have you ever heard that joke? And the first fella says, "Cold, innit?" And the second fella says, "Water's cold." And the last fella says, "Deep as well."
So I've kind of lost my rag, and I said to her, "Oh yeah, will you try being 6'4" and lifting your leg onto your knee?" So as I've done that, the old
fella... Is this just you like just venting some argument you had with your girlfriend?
No, the old fella. So,
well, get where you're going.
So the old fella slipped out, and
she
screamed. She screamed. At this point, I still don't know what's going on. She screamed and went, "Ah, George, don't! I'll do it." And she jumped and landed in my lap. I'm like, "What are you doing?" And she's got like a bit of a grin on her face. And she said, "Down there, down there." I said, "No." She said, "Yeah." And I could see there was this couple sat on the other side of the room looking across.
Traumatised.
Kind of like grinning. But, well, the fella was traumatised, but the wife was grinning, if you know what I mean. And so she said, "I'll do it for you, I'll do it for you." So the whole shorts thing, you know, I can see where it's coming from with them being too small.
Does this story reach any kind of resolution, or should we just knock it on the head?
Other than this, well, this teacher's standing defiant.
And what are the shorts as bad as you say?
Well, he says, the teacher goes on record to say, he says, "I think it's discriminating. I think it is a double standard," he said. "Here you have women that are wearing shorts that are half my size, and with excuse my lingo, the boobs half falling out, and they say that's acceptable." But I think women are allowed to do it because they look nice doing it, whereas men don't. And have you seen this picture yet?
I've said many times, there is nothing more unappealing than the male form.
It's horrible, isn't it?
I mean, you look at women of any size, of any age, of any nationality, of fat, thin, short, tall. They look crafted.
Of course.
They look like they would, you know, somebody, whoever made it, cared about it, you know, and made it look good and, you know, carved it and shaped it and thought about how to make it look appealing. Men don't look like that. It just, you know, the male genitalia, just like, I'll stick that on and them underneath and, well, that ain't going to work, so I'll put them in a bag and yeah, that'll do. It's fine like that. You know, well, the female body doesn't look like that. It looks like somebody took some care and it looks, you know, it's all sort of inside and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, and, yeah. It's well-crafted.
Whereas the male genitalia, it is like a car without a bonnet, isn't it?
You know, if you've spent any time staring at it like I have, it's like a hairy brain.
Okay, that's it, I'm afraid. That's all we've got time for today on the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. You've been listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights podcast, and we sincerely hope you enjoyed it, and you must have done, because if you can hear my voice now, that means you've listened to every last second. So why don't you do us a favour, do yourselves a favour, hit that subscribe button and hit it right now. We'd like to thank everybody at Streetside for providing us with the music, along with the marvellous Mr. Rick Dougal. But as you well know, if you listened to the show before, there's only time left to say. His name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson. My name was Jim Smith.
My name was Georgie Pitt.
George, your battle with the guards was quite extraordinary, and I was going to ask you to join us.
Hail to the king, baby. Hail to the king.
Screwface, he give me a death a thousand times worse than you.
The whole darn thing was brought to you in conjunction with our very good friends over at Big Kahuna Burger,
Podomatic,
and WCRFM.com.
Go that way, you short-sighted scrap pile. You'll be malfunctioning within a day.
So until next time, people, you stay classy.